Blog Talk Radio.
Howdy. Howdy, everybody. Jalen Patterson. Baby Real Talk, Midwest Muscle. Up in here. Up in here. And I reckon this program is sponsored by Pay for B Muscle, number one drug-free sponsorship foundation in the world. Yeah. I dig you, I reckon. If you are a drug-free athlete and are looking for a solid foundation to stand on and a horse and buggy to possibly get you to your goals, I reckon. It still has ice cream, but it's probably melting. I tell you what. Check us out, if you reckon, at P4PMuscle.com. And, hey, Desiree, you feel like talking? You got a hankering for that?
I have a hankering. I have a hankering for some real talk. You know what? You got to love it when he cracks himself up. And just in the intro, we haven't even gotten started yet. So you know when that happens, it's going to be a darn tootin' special show right there, Jalen Patterson. Right there.
Right there. Tell you what.
I tell you what. Hashtag tell you what. All right. We're going to be hit now. We're going to stop pulling it together. Hey, happy Thursday, everybody. Happy first full week of October. Can you believe it? I can't believe it. This year is flown by, and the fall competition season is just in full gear. And it makes me kind of sad because things are going to be winding down here in a couple months. And then we're going to be in the off season for earnest until next spring. So, wow. I'm sorry, you broke up. You broke up there, Kaylin. Kaylin Patterson. Can you say that again, good buddy? Your pastor's name is Ernest. Oh, my God. Ooh, well, hello and howdy, Pastor Ernest.
I tell you what.
You know what I want to tell you? I'm going to wait for Kaylin to bust out in his English accent because, by George, we had an awesome show on Tuesday. Just totally loved it. Julia Hubbard was with us from England. Vegan athlete. Pro figure competitor. She's in her country a pro sprinter, national title holder, former member of bobsled team. Almost made it to the Olympics, but had a crash that kind of waylaid that and led her to bodybuilding. And boy, are we happy that that happened. And she's also a vegan nutrition coach, personal trainer, all that good kind of stuff. Had a lot of great questions, great answers, and looking forward to having her back. What was your favorite part of that interview, Kaylin?
Honestly, the way she kept coming back after so many setbacks, and she still just kept finding a way. And I just love the way she described the transition to being a vegan, because she did have some setbacks and she was not afraid to basically let people know, because, you know, everyone speaks like everything's so hunky-dory when we know it's not. There's all kinds of trials and errors to get to where you're going. And she was so informative with that people basically started tuning in as the show was going. And then they started waiting till the last minute to get the questions out because they realized she was going to answer them honestly. And, you know, it makes good talk radio, and it's great for the listeners because they're actually getting actual information they can use in their life.
Yes, 100% agreement. And you know what? I mean, it's not ladies' night, folks. It's ladies' week. After that interview with Julia, we've got another fantastic female that is on the show with us tonight. And I have to admit, this is another one of my girl crushes. I don't have many, but this one, I tell you what, this one is one of them. And I've been describing her. I mean, I think right now, 2017, she is the standard for natural pro bikini. And I say that because every pro stage that she has been on this year, she's walked away with a first place win, and that is nothing new. She's been tearing up the pro scene now for, I want to say, and I'm sure she'll clarify or confirm, I want to say for at least 4 or 5 years. I know at least four. Maybe this is her fifth year, because I remember when she went pro, and it's been at least that long. And just phenomenal attitude, wonderful gal, inside and out, and just really admire what she's been doing on the pro bikini stage. And with that, I'm going to turn the floor over to Miss Misty Weatherford and have her say hi to all you folks in listener land.
Hello, everybody. Thank you, Desiree and Kaylin, for having me tonight. It's an absolute honor to be on your show. How are you guys doing?
We are awesome.
Okay.
I tell you what.
Yeah, you would.
Tell you what, Kaylin.
So, Missy, I've shared a little bit about how your year is going for you this year, but why don't you give our listeners a bigger picture of who you are and how you got started in this wild and wacky world of bikini bodybuilding?
Okay, well, you are correct. This is going into my fifth year of competing. I have, I think it was 2013, I earned my pro card at the Gateway Natural Show, the show that would just happen this past weekend, and that was my very first show. So that was kind of overwhelming at the time, where I was like, wow, I just won this pro card, kind of now what? I got started with competing because of actually a friend who now is my boyfriend, Dave Dreamer. He decided to do a show, and I just thought that I would watch him cheer him on. Yes, yeah. And I went there, and I'm like, you know, I'm just going to go watch and see what it's all about. I was actually completely clueless to the natural world of bodybuilding. I was always kind of sports-oriented. I had been training for a marathon that year, and all I did was run and saw at the gym lifting, you know, and I went to that show. He actually did the Keith Hunter show that year, and I just watched those girls, and I was just like, wow. I was just completely inspired by the dedication and commitment that they, you know, did day in and day out to get on that stage. And I'm like, you know what? I think that is something that I want to try. I had no clue if I was going to be successful at it or not, but I wanted to try it. And so I decided that I was going to do it. And I think it was like 12 weeks later, I prepped for my first show, and that was the Gateway show, where I earned my pro card. And honestly, I got off that stage and I was addicted. I was like, I love this, not only for the sport, but just how my body was changing, how I was feeling, how I was becoming more confident as a woman. And I just wanted to continue to do so. And I haven't stopped. And seriously, I have not stopped going into my fifth year. I just did my 19th show in Kansas City and prepping for Worlds in about 5 weeks for my 20th show, hoping to grab that world. That's what I've been working for.
Wow. Now, that's pretty amazing. And actually, we already have listener questions rolling in for you. And again,
okay,
so 20 shows overall over your career, I'm assuming. Gail is wondering how many shows you've done this year, and have you placed second in any of them?
I have competed in 4 shows this year, 2017, and I have placed first in all 4.
Well, there you have it, Gail. That's pretty phenomenal. Now, Deborah wants to know if you've competed at any shows where you've needed to defend your title from the previous year.
Yeah, the Kansas City show that I competed in a few weeks ago, I was defending my title, but for the 3rd year in a row. So this year I actually won it 3 years in a row, first place. So that was a true, like, good feeling to come off that stage, you know, knowing that I did it 3 in a row. I believe I think Fred informed me that no competitor at his show has ever won his show for 3 years straight in a row. So that was just, it was just kind of a huge honor. And I was just, I was like, wow, I can't believe I just did that. It just, it really brought a whole lot of memories from the past shows and the shows before that, just all like kind of full circle. And I'm like, wow, I just did that. And so I walked away that weekend just feeling so accomplished and proud of how far I've come.
Kaylin, I think I was waiting on you.
Oh, okay. Honestly, it's interesting because I just got a little bit of information, and I have a question for you about
Sure.
your diet, your supplementation. How did all that happen?
Well, a lot of people think that I'm very odd because I do not take a single supplement other than just what I eat and my food plan. I don't do any protein powders. I don't do any pre-workouts. I very even rarely take vitamins. I am just not one to take anything that is, you know, synthetic or produced or anything beyond natural, clean eating food. So all the proteins that I get and nutrients just come from meal prep. And I've been doing that way since the day I started. I've just, you know, never incorporated anything beyond that. And I feel fantastic. I don't feel like I need to go out and buy a bunch of supplements and put that stuff in my body. You know, I feel that, you know, sometimes those causes cravings and hunger, and I just want to avoid all that and more so just create a lifestyle. I won't always compete, so I want to do it in a way where I can sustain this forever.
Amen, sister. Amen. That is exactly, you know, one of the things that we talk about and one of the things that we love about the sport of natural bodybuilding, that it is something, if you do it correctly, can be sustained for a long, long time. And, you know, when you take supplements, you don't take supplements, it's just a much easier means of competing in the bodybuilding realm where you do have much more longevity.
Right.
But before I get carried too far away, Kaylin, do you have another one that you want to ask?
Yeah, because, you know, it's something that you guys brought up, and it's something that we've been talking about in our neighborhood because, you know, we've been doing community outreach left and right, and, you know, our youth are struggling because we're not passing along the information that we should be or at a time when they can hear it. And one of the things is in the outreach is basically that they simply don't know about good health and good nutrition because their bodies are basically burning up the bad food almost as easily as it is the good food. But, you know, there's a price to pay for it. Now, when you are talking about your diet and good and clean, we have pictures and we have the interviews with you. I have to plug Midwest Muscle because that's where they have to go to see it. But to understand what you're talking about, when you can compete successfully, you know, with the duration of the show that you're doing, how much does that play a part with proper diet, proper nutrition, hydration, all of those things? How much is that a factor for, you know, you basically getting on stage and being so successful?
I think it's the number one factor, honestly. I think it's, you know, 85% of my success has been in my nutrition. And I work with my trainer, Debbie Portell, and her and I have just constantly always adjusted it so that I can continue, you know, and carry on and not feel deprived or be starved or have low energy. You know, I have never in the 5 years now that I've been doing this ever felt at that point or felt like my body is so run down that I need to take a break. And it's because I've been so solely focused on the food that I've been putting in my body. And, you know, people will look at me and they're like, you eat so much food. And I'm like, I do, because I've conditioned my body to do so. I don't need to, you know, deplete. I don't, you know, I never cut my water. I never do anything from the day I start prep for a show. I don't change hardly anything going into peak week, the day of, nothing. I'd keep everything consistent because I want to feel consistent and I want to look the best I can look. And I feel like if I juggle that around, or if I take things out just to reach a certain point at a certain amount of time, I won't get there and I won't feel good doing it. And if I'm not feeling good, then I don't want to do it, because that's not what it's about. I want to be healthy and do it the natural way and enjoy the process, because if you enjoy it, then you have fun and it's worth it.
Yeah, and that is so important. That is so important. So tell us a little bit about, you know, just your regular workout routine, or what does your regimen look like? Because it sounds like if you're pretty consistent year round, this must be a pretty consistent part of it, part of the formula as well.
That is very correct. I've been training, you know, going to my fifth year, and my training has never stopped. It's never decreased. It's been consistent. It's actually on my daily calendar around all of my clients. It never changes. I do train 6 days a week. I do make sure that I get a full rest day every week. I think that's super important for the body to just have that whole rest day. You know, there is a thing of overtraining, and I believe in that. And, you know, I don't want to get to that point. And so I do have a very, very strict schedule, and I haven't wavered from that, and it works well. But, you know, I work out two hours a day. Sometimes on Saturdays I get in 3 hours if I have some cardio to do, but I've gotten to that point with my routine and my schedule and my nutrition that I actually don't have to cram in hours and hours of cardio, which that is a blessing in itself. But this entire year, I would say that I have not had to add in extra time for cardio. I just do complete strength training routines. I haven't always been that way, but I've conditioned my body to get there. And I feel that when that happens is in the off season, not when you're prepping for a show. It's how do you take care of yourself in the off season. And so I try not to veer off too far and stay focused and keep my routine going. And that way, every time I want to go for a show, it's an easy prep.
Wow, that's impressive. Now, when you're in there doing that kind of work, you obviously got to ramp up the metabolism to get those calories burned out. Are some of the guys kind of intimidated to see you kind of go at it like that?
You know, I work in a personal training facility, so it's all the same people. We're not an open gym, and we have competitors in there, but it's more of a fun, you know, banter between all of us. You know, it's, you know, the joke is, you know, don't let Misty lift heavier than you if you're a guy, you know, and so they always wait for me to go to the weight rack and grab my weights, and then they decide what they're going to lift. So that's always been the fun part when we do a lot of group training, or, you know, we have competitor trainings that we do together. And so I find a lot of entertainment in that factor, but it's been fun. It's been really fun. We learn and push each other, but it's a super supportive group and network of people at my gym, and it's called Integrity Training. And it's just like a family. So it's all positive.
And that's awesome. Now, I, Dave says you do lift heavier than the guys. You're a beast. There you have it. And this is Dave, her honey. So, hi, Dave.
Yep.
How are you doing?
Hi, Dave.
All right,
thanks.
I've got
several. I think he's in the other room, like, jumping up and down.
He probably is. He is so excited.
I'm like, leave me alone.
Like your number one
he's
fan, truly. I mean, I think
he is. He's my biggest fan. He's been my biggest supporter from the very beginning. So it's really nice to have him by my side every day.
Awesome. I've got several questions piling up here, and they're all different. So we're just going to take them as we get to them, because none of them are related on topic.
That's
okay.
Okay.
First one, Andrea wants to know if you would like to see more new pro card winners jumping in to compete as a pro right away, kind of piggybacking with the promoter's wish to continue to be able to raise payouts the more pros that they get, because sometimes you see in shows the payouts are higher with the higher number of competitors that are in a given pro
mm-hmm.
show. So
right.
How do you feel about, you know, new pro card holders just jumping right in there?
Well, I kind of can answer that from two different perspectives. One is from my personal perspective of getting my pro card on my very first show. Totally not expected, like I said. You know, what do I do? Do I keep competing as an amateur for a little while and get more experience, grow, you know, mature as a just an athlete overall? My answer to that and what I did was I jumped right into the pro circuit. I'm like, you know what? I want to do this. I clearly got a pro card, so therefore, you know, I've earned it. Let's just jump right in. And so I did. I got my pro card at the beginning of October, and I did my very first pro show at the end of October of that same year. And I just happened to join the Yorton Cup for the very first pro show. And it was quite the experience. It took me to a whole new level. But I think with that, it just pushed me to work harder. And I think mm-hmm. that is what I love to see among the women, you know, that I have competed against who are new, or the ones that I witness getting their pro cards. Just go for it. You know, go for it. There's always time to grow. There's always time to learn. And, you know, all it really does is just give you the practice and more confidence so that every time you do hit that pro stage, you get better and better. And that journey is just, it's just amazing to watch with anybody. And then, you know, I'm also, you know, a full-time personal trainer and have a list of, you know, competitors that I prepare for shows myself. And I've had, I think now 4 or 5 of my clients receive pro cards. And it's like, okay, now what, you know? And, you know, everybody's really scared to go onto that pro stage because they look at these pros and just awe, you know, they're like, oh my gosh, I mm-hmm. don't, you know, like they don't see themselves at that level. And I'm like, but that's what you're working towards. So you might as well just go, you know? And so I encourage, you know, never push, but I encourage, you know, if you've gotten that pro card, man, go, let's all compete. Let's get on that pro stage and see what we've got. Let's build this class. Let's build this industry, you know, and the only way that you're going to do that is just jump right in, you know? And I said, it acts as motivation and encouraging just to keep working hard because you're surrounded by people at a whole new level. And I think when you surround yourself with people who are smarter, you know, more educated, or, you know, just at that level, you get drawn to that. And so then it just takes you to that level quicker.
There you go. So thanks for answering that question. All right, next one. Linda wants to know, how helpful is it to have a support group that knows the struggle of this sport and life?
Oh, I mean, I think that's like so important. It's like 100% almost, because what we do is not easy. I might sit here and act like, oh, this is all happy, lovely, like every day is great, you know, but it's not. What we do is hard. And you know that saying, you know, if it were easy, everybody would do it. And that's the honest opinion is, you know, everybody has good days. Everybody has bad days. You know, you feel good. You're not feeling good. You got life. You know, I have 2 children. You know, I have a high school student. I have an elementary student. You know, we got homework. We have, you know, school projects. We have a lot, you know, and I have my client, you know, and work. And so life gets heavy. You know, things happen, injuries come, you know, sickness comes, and, you know, and so it's not easy. And so to have people around you that help you and support you, you know, will stand there during a workout for you just to get you through it, you know, who will do anything for you. I don't think you could be successful in this sport without that. You know, you don't have to have a huge network of people, but just those select few that believe in you and know what you're capable of, you just need that couple people and you're just like, I can do this. And so the support, you know, is 100% probably the most important thing to get you to that stage each and every time. not the first time, not the 10th time, and not the 20th time. It's just every time in between, every day in between. So find those people that lift you and build you and motivate you. That's the first key to success.
Amen to that.
Yeah,
amen.
No doubt, no doubt. So we had a – oh, go ahead, Kaylin.
Yeah, they're saying that, wow, I mean, everybody's been checking out the video, I guess, and they're saying, you know, how do you maintain that for the duration of the year with that kind of fullness? This is like three different people, all guys, sadly. I'm not going to put them on blast like Des did last year.
Okay. So the question is, how do I maintain it all year?
Yes.
So how to be successful at that, for what I've experienced, is don't fall off the wagon completely. Don't fall off, you know, because once you fall off, I mean, it's like you're
double
crawling and scratching, you know, to get back on.
I just
love
him. I tell you what.
I tell you
what. That is the truth. I don't know what else to say about that. Woo! All right. Pulling it together. So earlier this week, or Tuesday, we had Julia Hubbard on. And she spoke about the prior sports that she had participated in, being a track star, sprinter, and a professional bobsled pusher. If pusher is the right word, I'm sure it's not, but we're going to roll with it. So Sarah wants to know, bobsledder, Sarah wants to know, Misty, I'm moving on past Kaylin right now, if you have a prior sports background as well.
I do. It was in high school. I played softball. I played basketball and volleyball. Basketball and volleyball were my two main sports. I played all 4 years of varsity for both, and then I went off and played volleyball in college for 1 year. So I do have a lot of sports behind me. I did not play much after that. I, you know, went off, got married, had children. You know, sports became about them and, you know, their sports and stuff. And so I was off track, I would call it, off track for a while until I decided to start training for a marathon, which was in 2013. And that was the first time I kind of had been back at it since college.
All right. And boy, you came back with a vengeance. Did you ever do that marathon? I mean, you were busy tearing up the bikini stage.
Oh,
did you ever get around to running it? Okay, good for you.
I did. Yeah, I had never even ran a 5K before. And so I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to go run a marathon. Why not, right? And,
why not?
Oh, my goodness.
Why not? But, you
well,
know,
true confessions.
It was fun.
True confessions, I will probably never, I shouldn't say never, because that's about the time something happens, but I have no desire to run anything farther than a 5K, so hats off to you.
Right.
Hats off
Thank
to you.
Thank you.
That 12-mile Tough Mudder was about enough. That was about all that
was
going
to
happen. I don't even know how I made it through that one.
It's a family show here, lady. You and your tough, whatever you just said.
And moving on again, here we go. So Jake says that the girls from the KC looked phenomenal. But all of the women looked phenomenal, and the men too. But he wants to know, were you really nervous at that show?
Oh, I was terrified at that show. Yeah, I was, I'm always nervous for a show because, you know, I work hard every day and I want to do well, but what I call the talent, you know, that showed up at that show, not, you know, much like every show, but the talent that graced that stage at Kansas City was just like, wow. I was like, I don't think I have this show at all. And that's actually how I went on stage thinking. I'm like, these women look phenomenal. And, you know, there's a couple where I'm like, yeah, I just want to really hope to place in the top five. I'd be so happy if I placed in the top five because that's just how amazing these women are.
You know, it's so amazing to see how much better, like with the diets, with the nutrition. I mean, basically when the bro science started coming to an end, that's when the life of the natural athlete really started to improve. And I'm thankful mm-hmm. to God for that. But also the level of competition has skyrocketed, you know, and you being on the pro stage like you have, I'm sure that's been quite the transformation, no pun intended, when you're basically seeing from then till now. How do you mm-hmm. mentally keep that level going where you're constantly pushing yourself?
You just have to keep reminding myself of, you know, why do I do this? You know, and, you know, everybody wants to win, and I hope everybody strives to win because we all work
yeah.
hard and are completely dedicated, but it's kind of like, why do I do this? And at the end of the day, I do this, you know, to teach my children lessons about, you know, being dedicated to something and working hard for something and having something that makes you happy, you know. And then beyond them, though, is I want to inspire, you know, women in general or just, you know, athletes in general to, you know, no matter your age, no matter your status of whether you're a mother or not or father or, you know, or you have this career that just takes your life to another, you know, dimension and you have no time. It's like you figure a way to prioritize and do what's important to you. And I'm not saying that bodybuilding needs to be important to everybody, but that's my thing. And so I want
yes.
to show people that, you know, this is my thing and I can do it because I make it a priority.
Okay.
And, you know, and that's how I want to do it. I want to inspire people, not just win trophies.
Awesome. Well, I'm inspired. And, you know, I'm also inspired by this phenomenon that we seem to have going on, that we have individuals who are listening, tuning in, following, participating, and then they're also watching your Midwest Muscle interview at the same time. So it's like we've got this dual misty going on.
That's great.
Behind the scenes at the same time. Yeah, no doubt.
Well, thanks,
all right,
everybody,
so
for having an interest.
Yeah, there you go. It's exciting. I mean, I'm loving it. You know, the things that social media makes possible, I mean, there are a lot of negatives too, but, you know, you just have to really love the positives. You just do.
Yeah.
Where else?
You do. You got to focus.
Where else would something like this happen? Yes,
right.
Exactly. Exactly. So Linda is wanting to know how much of your look, we'll say your physique, is genetics and how much is hard work?
Well, if I, you know, the way I work, I'm like, it takes work every single day, you know. But, you know, as far as genetics go, you know, all I know is there's nobody in my family that has been where I've been or done or attempted anything that I've done. You know, I just know that hard work has really paid off, and all I can do is compare it to how I looked when I started compared to how I look right now and then the time that it took me to get there. And a lot of people, you know, well, you looked great at the beginning. I'm like, yeah, I was just a skinny girl, you know, with absolutely no muscle mass whatsoever. And it's pretty much taken me 5 years to bring a physique to the stage that I'm like super proud of and confident in, and, you know, that is winning. And it took me 5 years to get there and, you know, without pretty much stopping. So it's, you know, I would say there are people that are very blessed to have great genetics, but for myself, I would really have to, you know, say hard work got me to this point. And so that's what I tell my competitors all the time. It's time and effort. And if you put those two together, you'll be successful.
Yeah. And I'm going to jump in because, you know, I think people get that confused with the muscle maturity and muscle memory to where you've basically addressed your body with sports in the past, and you basically mm-hmm. spent years working on it, there's a lot mm-hmm. that goes into that. And people say, well, you know, they had that look when they walked in. They had the foundation, but they built mm-hmm. that foundation years ago. So a lot of times there's people that see basically the midpoint or basically after the process is already begun. And they think, wow,
right.
you know, that has such potential. And potential is nice, but it's basically the format for starting everything else. And, you know, I liken it to when people were saying, because they saw how my brother looked, that of course I'm going to look that way as well. And that's never the case. And it's very
right.
seldom that you see family members looking identical unless they're twins. And even that's a stretch because of the work that has to go in. So there's people I've seen that are twins that are basically one took the weights and one took basically the drink or the whatever, the donut.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they're two different people, even though they have basically the same genetic format. So, you know, it's discouraging when people try to, and I'm not saying that's what was said, but I don't want anyone to think that the effort wasn't there and it just fell into your lap. You know, because I used to think when I was growing up, when my brother sneezed, it just gave him a six-pack because it seemed mm-hmm. like that's how it went. And he was one of those that, you know, was given that genetic code that just basically loved everything he did and basically showed from even, like, doing one push-up. But there's a lot of work that had to happen with him doing basketball, with him doing football. Basically,
mm-hmm.
all the time I didn't see him doing things is when he was, and his body reacted to it. So, you know, even as a family member, I didn't see all that he was doing. And it does make a difference. If you're doing the work, you do get the results. And as a natural athlete,
exactly.
you have to do the work, you know. So I just want to piggyback that on there. So nobody misses out on how many years you put into this. This is not by mistake,
mm-hmm.
it's by design.
Yes, I totally agree. Thanks, Kaylin. Yeah, you're totally right. I mean, it just takes work and it takes time. And I definitely had to put that in. And, I mean, I'm so glad that I did. And, you know, and I will continue to do so.
Amen.
So now you mentioned that you have two kids. How do they
no way.
Feel about their mom being a bodybuilder?
You know, it's great. My son, he's 14, and so
what?
He's 14, and so it's funny. He's in high school, and you know, and has all his friends come over, and it's funny. I don't feel like he's embarrassed at all of what I do. And I think he's proud and he's like, my mom's a bodybuilder, you know, and he'll be like, my mom's on YouTube, you know, and he'll like search it and show his friends. And he's super proud. And, you know, I go away to a show and I don't take them with me often because I do it too often. It's just long days for them. And so, but he'll text me and how did you do? And he's, you know, excited about it. In his own shy, cool way, because, you know, it's not cool to talk about mom a lot. And and then my daughter, she's 9 and just sweet as can be. And she breaks in my heels for me before show and shows me some poses and just makes sure, you know, that I'm on point. So that's her role and how she likes to be involved. And, you know, I'm hoping one day that she will grace that stage as well, because I will not, you know, never a doubt that she won't kind of follow in that footsteps. She's in the gym all the time working out with me. So that's been really fun to watch.
Awesome. You know, and it is fun when your kids are supportive or can be involved in one way or another in the things that you do. So that always is a
yeah.
lot of fun. And I'm glad that she's showing you some poses, because obviously that's paying off for you. And I would have to guess that posing, you spend a lot of time practicing that area as well, because your posing is also very flawless.
Well, thank you very much. I like being out there and I feel confident and it comes natural to me. And I understand that it doesn't come natural to some people. And I work with clients with posing all the time, and it, you know, it's just another thing that you have to add to, you know, putting that time in, you know, that you know, saying practice makes perfect. I mean, there's people that have to practice every single day, and if that's what it takes, then that's what we do.
No doubt. And, you know, I think when – okay, we'll go back to when I was in Kansas City and Moji Alua was down there, and he was doing – getting ready to do his routine, and he didn't have any music on. And, you know, I don't know what he was hearing in his head, but it must have sounded real good. But it just got my attention. And then when he got off stage, he was even better. And when he came off stage from his night routine, I asked him, and I said, you know, how much posing does it take to have a routine that's flawless like that? And he said all the time he's practicing posing because there's something about the different, you know, when you start to improve and that different striation or that different pop in the muscle, because the body's a natural athlete's body is always changing and it's always improving if you're doing correctly. So he was talking about that, and he said there was always something else he could bring out or get to pop. And people mistake it for ego, but that's the last thing on their mind. They're basically saying, you know, people paid money to see me. They paid money to witness what I'm doing, and it would be a shame to give them less than what they're expecting. And, you know, in this day and age, people expect a lot. But if you can do that presentation and bring it forth and show what a pro is like, then they get a better understanding of how hard it is when they see the amateurs basically struggling just to get across the stage. It's not an easy feat, even though you guys make it look that way. It takes a lot of work and a lot of practice. And, you know, basically, when you do it like that, you're shoving ego to the side because you're saying it's not enough to get that one routine. I constantly improve. So, you know, when you're addressing that and you're seeing, you know, the amateurs and they come up and ask you, how do you inform them that, you know, you basically got to set aside some time?
Oh, yeah. You know, funny you say that. I had two people from the Kansas City show, amateurs, come up to me and just kind of were picking my brain, you know, and they asked me my opinion, you know, and I looked at them both and I'm like, you two have amazing physiques. Amazing. I see the hard work. I see this. I see that. I said, what the problem is you're not able to put it out on display properly for everybody else to see. And I said, if you can just lock that in, and if you can just practice and tweak this and just turn ever so slightly, I was just kind of just giving them just a second to show them. And I'm like, look, I mean, that's just completely different. I said, now all that hard work and all that time that you've been doing, there it is. It's right there. You know, I said, so get in the mirror, you know, get in front of people, get in front of your coach, put those heels on, you know, practice. That's just as important as your workouts. You know, everybody's watching. You have a whole panel of judges looking at you. The lights are bright, everything. You've got to practice how to display your body in the best way possible.
And that is so true. And I hope everyone listening is taking that to heart. And, you know, even if it's just 15 minutes a day to do it on a consistent basis. And that's, I mean, she's talking to me just as much as anybody else, because that is an area that I struggle with, and, you know, just continue to work towards. This is an interesting question. Barbara wants to know if people have done any bandwagon jumping to try to get into your inner circle since you've been winning.
That's a good question. I don't feel like that's the case. I don't think I've experienced that a lot. You know, there's people that will just, you know, in passing, ask me a question or this and that, but it's not like, you know, well, I'm going to leave so-and-so because you're winning and I'm going to come over here. I really don't feel like I've had that happen to me, which is great. I'm always very willing to speak with somebody, kind of give them free advice. You know, I would never say, well, you got to come over to my team or you have to come train with me. I don't feel like that's what the sport's about. I don't feel like we can grow, you know, as a unit in this industry and become better if it's always just about, you know, well, who's winning? I need to be over there or I need to be over there. You know, I'm always willing just to say, hey, you just need to tweak this or ask your coach about this. You know, I've never, so thankfully, I haven't really experienced that at all in my 5 years of doing this.
Very cool. Now, I do have a question, though. So in your 5 years of doing this, what opportunities would you say that being a bodybuilding competitor has opened up for you, and especially a very successful competitor?
What it really opened me up to, and not a lot of people know what I did prior to being a personal trainer, is I was not a personal trainer before I started competing. I was a dialysis technician, and so I took care of, chronically ill patients, with total kidney failure that I saw almost, 3 times a week, and they completely had, in some way, shape, or form, didn't take care of themselves for years and years and years, And so by becoming a competitor myself first and then realizing what everything was about and how I could change people's lives, I feel like that gave me the opportunity to find what I was kind of destined to do. And that was to help people to improve their health, to make them stronger, to make them more confident, whether it was just to lose weight or to even get on stage. I have all walks of life in my gym. And that was probably the best opportunity that I received when offered a job as a personal trainer. And my boss was like, I think you need to be doing this. I think you need to come work for me. And I'm like, really? And she was right. I was like, when I started training, I'm like, this was the best opportunity of my life. And it was all because I decided to do a show one day and met her at that show. And I was just like, okay. And so the opportunities go far and beyond that. But that's just the number one thing that really has, touched me. And I just hold that opportunity dear to my heart, because it completely changed my entire life, my entire career path. And then here I am today just, with a whole lot of clients just making huge life-changing paths. And it's been amazing to watch. It just fills my heart. Makes me wake up every day with a smile on my face.
Great. And they say when you love what you do, you never work a day in your life.
That's right.
All right. So to kind of tag on to that, Dale is saying, with your background, and he's asking, how much motivation do you have to dismiss excuses because you've seen the bad side of letting excuses ruin your life?
Mm-hmm. You can ask a lot of my close people. I don't do excuses. I never come up with excuses for myself. I don't. And I've been told I have really high standards for people and high expectations for people. And I just don't accept excuses very well. And I'm like, that just sounds not like anything that I'll accept. And, because I want the best for people. And so me and excuses, we don't mesh well at all. And I think it's a good thing. Some people don't, not all people are wired like me, but I just don't do excuses at all. No excuses.
Well, I got to piggyback that one because I'm so in love with that statement, because when you see the alternative, that creates a drive.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a lot of people say that you can be kind of brutal with your responses, but there's a sincerity in it. And I always harken back to my reverend that passed away, and he had a brutal honesty, but it was always said in love. And I was just mm-hmm. always so amazed at the things he could tell people, because I was thinking, oh, wow, that's – ooh, wow, hey – where you start getting hot under the collar, because it seems like it might be an uncomfortable thing. But because he mm-hmm. can speak in love, he could get that point across without really tearing into somebody to basically they're dismissing the excuse without dismissing the individual. And I think you
right.
found that way to make that happen.
that's my mission, you know, because I'm like, I want better for you. I know you can do better, and that's just an excuse. That excuse gets you nowhere.
And there you have it. And there you have it. Okay, Sam wants to know if you have a room set aside for all of your winnings and trophies, because it sounds like you're going to need an addition to your house.
Oh, that's funny. No, I don't have a me room, that's for sure. I do have a cabinet that's getting kind of full. Dave and I were talking about that. And he's like, I don't think you can fit anything else in there. I'm like, oh, it's going to fit. I have a little cabinet that I walk by every single day that just reminds me of what I'm doing and why I'm doing it and how far I've come and, you know, all the memories, you know, that I've shared in doing so and you know, keeps me going. It actually motivates me every day. It's not like, oh, look at me, I got all this stuff. It's look at that. I did that and I can keep going and doing more.
So with Worlds coming up, how excited are you to step on that stage and possibly add to this cabinet that you already have bursting at the seams?
Oh, you know, Desiree, I'm so excited for Worlds this year. Like I said, it's my 20th show. I've been doing this for a while now. It has not gotten old. I just feel like I still have more to offer. I still have room to grow. It's the reason why I'm so excited about it is, you know, the women that I've competed against this year, like I said before at the beginning, they're phenomenal, you know, and each one that I have met personally, their spirit is contagious. They're so motivating, and it just, I look at them and it drives me to keep going. And I'm just so excited to be among people who do this every day like I do. It's this lifestyle. It's, you know, it's the same hobby, if you want to call it. And it's an opportunity to see these people again and see how they've grown and how they've changed. And, you know, I like that. I like to see people better themselves and bring it back to the next, you know, show, whether it's, you know, 4 weeks now or since April. And so that's what's exciting for me is I want to see people and how they've put in the work and how they've changed and the package that they're going to bring. And then, you know, to see where I can place amongst these, you know, amazing individuals. So I'm super excited, super nervous because, like I said, the talent is just off the charts. But it's going to be a good day. It's going to be a good day, and we're going to have lots of fun, and I hope to even meet some more wonderful people.
All right. Very awesome. So Dave was wondering how many shows you had left for the rest of this year, and I think we touched on that. But part two is to his question is whether or not Dave DeReamer is going to step on stage anytime soon, if you have any inside scuttle on that.
Yeah, that's a hot question in our house almost on a daily basis. You know, he hasn't talked much about making a comeback until just very recently, so I think it's stirring in that little brain of his, and I really hope so. Dave, he's a great competitor. I love watching him on stage. I would love that he would make a comeback in 2018. So, you know, don't worry. You know, I'm over here pushing it. So if you're wanting him to be back on stage, I'm all over it.
And you heard it here first, folks. You heard it here first. All right, we have time for one more question. And this one is from Brenda. And she wants to know how hard it was to initially get rid of your baby belly. After you had kids, hers is still hanging around after a whole year of exercising.
Yeah, good question. You know, you can work hard in the gym all day long with that baby belly, but if you don't have your food right, it's going to just stay right there. That's what I learned really quick with both my children. I always tell people, which is not like, you know, the best thing to say, but I gained like 55 pounds with both my children. And so I had a belly to lose for sure. But I just really focused on food. You know, I can't stress that enough to people. It's the food, you know, taking sugar away and not doing the supplements and putting all that stuff in your body. Just keep it clean. Keep it good. Keep it, you know. And I know he's going to start laughing. It's the hardest thing to do, but that's how you get rid of it. You know, you just focus on the food and keep working.
Yep. And that's the truth of it. And with every pregnancy, it'll be different. I know.
Every pregnancy, yep.
Yeah, with some of my, you know, my kids, they were all different the length of time it took. Some were shorter, some were longer, and that's just kind of how it goes. And age is a contributing factor to that as well, and how quickly your body is going to respond. It's definitely a whole different ball game having kids in your 20s versus your 30s versus your 40s.
Exactly, yeah.
So you just never know. But with that being said, that could be a whole different show, but we are running out of time for this show. But we wanted to take the time or make the time for you to be able to give shout-outs to anyone and everyone who has been part of your support system along this wonderful journey of yours.
Yeah, I would love to give some shout-outs. You know, first and foremost, I would like to thank my trainer, Debbie Portell, at Integrity Training. I've been with her pretty much from the beginning. So her and I have, you know, battled it for years now, trying to change and perfect my body and try little things here and there. And you know, she keeps me going on a daily basis. And so that would be the first person that would come to mind when, you know, getting me to stage each and every time. I want to give a shout out to, you know, I do have a sponsor, Mavita Designs. She's been making my suits for the 2017 year. I've had many suits over my career, and hers are by far, hands down, the best. Just want to give, you know, a shout out, obviously, to my children who support me every day, you know, who encourage me, who don't give me a hard time for my restricted diets and time with the training. My boyfriend, Dave Dreamer, biggest fan out there for sure. He likes to take credit now because he's my personal chef. He does help me with my food. and he's really proud of that, and it tastes good. So I'm excited for that. But he's always been there every show in the crowd, cheering me on, talking with me, you know, putting me at ease. So I thank him for that. And then obviously I got to thank my tan perfect girl, Chana. She's amazing. Everywhere I go, I call her. I'm like, come on, we got a show to do. So if you want a tan perfect's the one. So, but yeah, thank you so much, you guys, for having me on your show, Kaylin and Desiree. It's been really fun tonight.
Love it. You're making me miss
the
eyes.
He's going to be verklempt. I tell you what.
Okay.
All right, Kaylin, you've got the last thought for tonight. Go for it.
I've got a hankering for Snickerdoodle just to get that thing going right because she did so good on this show, tell you what.
All right, Missy, well, we wish you all the best, and Lord willing, Midwest Muscle will be there to cover it, and we're looking forward to holding another interview, so let's do this.
Yes. Can't wait to see you guys.
I can't wait. I can't wait. It's going to be an awesome show. So on behalf of Miss Misty, Kaylin, myself, and the boys for P4P Real Talk, your body is a temple, so let's build it.